Hey everybody, this is Dominique. If you're ready to do more with your life and money, I want you to stay tuned. Today we'll start a three-part series on comparing all the different investment strategies that you can employ with your own investment portfolio. There are tons out there, and I want to walk you through some of the more popular ones and the reason for those. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
All right, we're back. This is Dominique, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, where we're helping our clients achieve their ideal financial outcome, and host of Experiencing Financial Contentment, the podcast. So we're here for all you repeat listeners and viewers. Thank you for watching. If you're new here today, what this podcast is all about is helping you increase your level of financial literacy. We want to give you information to empower you economically and also to develop you personally. So those three themes are what we do in the podcast. And I like to say that for those that are watching, for those that are listening for the first time, we're hoping that you'll take that red pill to leave the matrix of the average so that you can live a life of financial contentment. So today, like I said at the top of the show, we are going to dive into what I would call a practical guide for comparing investment strategies. There are so many out there. I've spent nearly two decades as a student of the financial market. So I'm going to try to weave in a little bit of my knowledge over the years in looking at the different ways that investment portfolios are constructed for the, let's call them the underlying purposes. We'll use another podcast or so to talk about maybe growth strategies, because everybody's can be a little different. But when you're talking about the underlying reasons for constructing an investment portfolio, obviously there's growth, but then there's some other things, because like I like to say, it's not all about what you make, it's about what you keep. So we're going to talk about today about some tax strategies and the differences between tax deferred, tax free, and taxable, and all those different buckets that your money falls into and the different accounts you may use, and what you can put in those accounts, and then specifically how it happens to affect your return. You know, taxes are due in a couple of weeks, and so this is a good time for you to kind of understand how it plays along into your tax return and what you're going to, you know, essentially being owed to the government through your tax liability. So we'll dive right into that today. I'm going to have to pull over the screens for the ability to show you that. So let's, that's the tax stuff. So let's kind of just walk through a couple of the things that, a couple of the different types. So when you earn money, the tax code basically says income from all sources, right? So whether that be lottery winning or W-2 income or 1099 income or investment income, you know, they fall into different categories where the IRS basically uses like active income or passive income. It could be rental income in there. There's a lot of different sources, right? So let's talk about whether or not when you get the income, when you're taxed or if you're taxed versus if you're not. If you're taxed and like federal withholding is taken out or something like that, then that would obviously go into what is called the taxable bucket. So that can be accounts like your bank account, your checking. Obviously, we can put things like CDs in there or cash. Then you have your tax deferred accounts, which are also very popular. These would be your traditional IRAs, your 401ks, your 403bs, your 457s. All those different types of accounts would be called tax deferred, meaning that you can put income from all those different sources, usually earned income like a W-2 or something like that from your job, or 1099 income. You can put those into those accounts. You will not be taxed immediately. And we're going to talk about how those give you a tax break dollar for dollar in just a second. But you will not be taxed immediately. But at some point, you have to pay taxes on it. That's why it's called tax deferred. So you'll usually put something like, let's say a salary deferral. Let's say you make 100 grand a year. and you defer 10% of your salary into the 401k. Well, that 10 grand goes into your 401k and you're not taxed on that until you take it out, usually at 78 or 70 and a half. Age 70 and a half is when you start having to make the required minimum distributions. And then tax-free, that bucket would be money that you've already earned, came into all your, either your passive or your active bucket. You've paid taxes on it, so there's been federal withholding from that. And then what's left over? It looks like a taxable account, but if you wanted to, you could put it in something like a, let's call it a HSA or a Roth, and you're not going to be taxed on the growth of that account. So when you pull it out, there's no tax consequences. Now, one little caveat, the HSA is like a double bonus in which you can put money in there pre-tax, meaning that you haven't been taxed on it, and it can grow. Without it can grow tax-free, and then when you pull it out, there's no taxes unless you use it for something other than a medical expense. So an HSA is a health savings account, and more on that later. You can kind of Google that and look that up. We don't want to get too far in the weeds, but that it has like a let's call it a double feature where it's based both tax-free the growth is tax-free, and the money you put in there can be before taxes, so you don't have to pay taxes on it, essentially, if you long as long as you use it for your medical expenses. All right, so let's talk about what you can put in those accounts, right? Because we're talking about comparing different investment strategies. So one strategy could be that you want to, you're really young, like you might be, let's say you're just starting your working career, and you want to accumulate the most amount of money on a tax-free basis that you can. So one strategy you could use is if you earn, if you qualify for contributing to a Roth, you can put money in a Roth, right? As you get older, the logic here is as you get older, your tax liability is going to be higher. You'll make more income, you'll be in a higher tax bracket, you'll pay more out of your pocket to taxes. So what some people do is they create a Roth really early in their working careers, and they'll contribute to that Roth, get the money, get taxed on it, and then the leftovers put in that Roth, because as it grows tax-free while you're working for 40 years or more, by the time you get to an age of wanting to take that money out, you've got this big pile of money that you do not have to pay taxes on once you take that out. And so the growth has been tax-free. That's one strategy. And that can save you some money over time. It just depends on what you earn and how long you're able to contribute to that, the full amount during your, which is $5,500 right now a year, the full amount during your working careers. Another strategy, which is pretty popular also, is using the tax deferred strategy. So, right, you might, in that same instances, although you may be taxed more or higher in a higher bracket as you work and you become to, or you make more income, you could really use a 401k, max out the amount that you can put in there, and let that money grow tax deferred. And then when you get to age 70 and a half, when you have to take it out, you will have to pay taxes on it, and it will be a big pile of money. But when you're retired, your tax bracket should go down. Like, you can control how much money you're taking out of there, so you can kind of control your tax liability. So those are two different strategies to kind of minimize your tax burden. It just depends on the person, how much you're making, and a couple of different factors that would go into that. So let's talk about the dollar for dollar reduction that I was intimating earlier. So what I have here, hopefully you can see this, is a little snippet of your 1040. On line 7 would be income from all sources, right? That would be the what we talked about before. Now, what happens with a 401k or any type of salary deferral plan that you are participating in at your employer is, let's say you make $100,000. That's what your W-2 income salary is. If you contribute, let's say $10,000 to your 401k, it's as if you made $90,000. So what effectively goes on line 7 is $90,000. So what you're seeing is you get a dollar for dollar tax reduction in your tax liability, because as you continue to work through this form, I don't have the whole form there, your taxable income is reduced by the amount that you put in your 401k. So that's a big deal. And a lot of people don't contribute because they're like, or they don't contribute the max, which is 18.5. They don't contribute the max because they're like, well, that's going to reduce my take home pay. Well, it's also reducing your taxable income too. So you have to look at that and look at what's the more benefit. Is it more beneficial for you to now have more money to spend and be taxed on that? Or is it more beneficial for you to have more money to support your future lifestyle? So that's a budgeting question really that you would have to answer. But effectively, let's talk about some other things. So in a tax deferred account, when you buy a security and open up what is called a tax lot, and then you sell that for a gain, you do not pay taxes on that while it's in a 401k. That does not happen. That taxable event is not triggered until that money comes out. That's why you want to defer it as long as you can and maximize or leverage that tax deferred status. So you can buy and sell in there all you want and you don't trigger any taxable event. So that's pretty key. So because none of that information will go on this tax return. None of that is reportable. And that happens in an IRA too. Also happens in a Roth. Now, what happens if you're in a taxable account or something like that, like a bank account or a brokerage account, things like that? Well, where that would happen is if you buy something, so let's say you buy a stock at 10 and you sell it at 15 and you have a $5 gain. That gain, if it happens inside of 12 months, is a short-term gain, which is an ordinary, counted as ordinary income. You're going to be taxed at a higher rate. Let's say you sell it after a year, you'd be taxed at long-term rates. Long-term gains rates, which will be more beneficial for you. They're lower than ordinary income rates. But if you have a capital gain, it's going to go on line 13 on your Schedule D. So you can probably see that there. That's where all your capital gains will lie. Now, if you do something like if that same investment, say, pays you an income stream of like a dividend or something like that, all your dividends are going to go on line 9A, line 9, either A or B, depending on if they're qualified or not. And so all that income is reported there. So you can see kind of the difference on if you have a taxable account like a brokerage account, all that income is going to be reported every year on line 9. All the income that that produces, unless you have investments in there like tax-free municipal bonds or bond funds that are tax-free, then that income does not get reported there because it's tax-free. But you can begin to think about your investment strategy and the different ways that these particular accounts fall onto your tax return and give you, you know, more money that you have to essentially be liable for paying taxes on or less money, right? So just a small recap, tax deferred, any activity, there's no taxable events as long as the money as long as you don't break the rules of the account, right? So you can't pull it out before 70 and a half. You can't pull it out before 59 and a half. You're going to have some type of penalty. So as long as you stay away from those, no taxable events in there until you have to start making required minimum distributions. And then let's go back to this slide. So taxable, everything's fair game. Anything you make in that account as far as dividends and any gains that you make in that account get reported as taxes. Conversely, if you make losses, you can deduct up to $3,000 of those every year, too. So that gets a little bit into the weeds, but that gets reported in your tax returns. Tax-free, it's tax-free. No taxable events happen in those type of accounts either. So you want to try to center an investment strategy really around that first category and that third category. Obviously, the second category does have to exist. You do need checking accounts, as sometimes you're going to maybe want to buy CDs when interest rates get a little higher, and it makes sense for a safe haven for your money to be federally insured. But you want to center your investment strategy, hopefully around the bulk of your assets, around tax deferred and tax free accounts, so that you can maximize the amount of money that is grown in your investment pool and minimize the money that you're paying out in taxes. Okay. So hopefully that's helpful. We are going to switch back. If you want to continue this discussion, we can always you can always hit us up in the Facebook group, Creating Your Roadmap to Financial Contentment. Free invitation there. It's a private group, but if you send me a request on Facebook, I will definitely take a look at that and invite you in. We can continue this discussion. We can talk about other stuff, financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development. That's what that's all about. It's about helping you win with your money. And so thank you for watching. Thank you for listening today. That's all, and we'll see you back next time. Bye-bye.